decree, I call the shots. I'm in control, it's just me. I won't be owned, manipulated or contained. I pave my own way, my destiny unchained. Self-imposed walls. With you I surrender, my heart enthralls. I'm unbreakable, fierce and invincible. Watch me shine, I'm taking fire. Hey man, watch.
Amen, listen up, this is my decree. I call the shots, I'm in control, it's just me. I won't be home, manipulated or contained. I pave my own way, my destiny unchained. I do what I want, no one's gonna hold me down. Except for you, boy, you turn my world around. Me free from my self-imposed walls. With you I surrender, my heart enthralls. I'm unbreakable. Do what I want, no one's gonna hold me down. Except for you, boy, you turn my world around. You break me free from my self-imposed walls. With you I surrender, my heart
Night Rider up to Truckee. An original story from Appaloosa Radio. Chapter 10. On Making Bad Choices. Since my return from my trip 2 years ago, my older brother, who is a stockbroker and hence knows everything, has been hassling me about the bad choice that I made in taking it. He has a list that he repeats as if it were a sacred liturgy. First on his often repeated list is my former girlfriend Terry. Bad choice, man. You are never going to find another one like her. Primo of the primos. After primo of the primos comes my demotion at my job and my eventual resignation. There are hundreds of lawyers who would kill to get the kind of job you had, and since you knew the system, it did not take much effort to prepare a case. Sweet. Then he always mentions that I lost a great benefits package and an incredible retirement. They give you a fixed income retirement. You can't beat that playing the stock market with your 401k. Then he lists the Mercedes. Technically, I did not lose it. I just chose to not renew the lease. $562 a month was more than I could now afford. The real estate market is going through a correction. I had bought my house when home prices were high, but had to sell it when the prices had dropped. My brother always adds, it even had a great pool, perfect for barbecues. Yeah, perfect for barbecues. He always contrasts that perfect house with my present accommodations. I now live in downtown Sacramento, in the bottom level of an older, poorly maintained Victorian house. My brother is emphatic. They have a murder a week on that street. He was wrong. I checked the statistics. He was wrong. It is a murder every 2.7 weeks, almost always a homeless crazy, killing another homeless crazy. My brother is determined to emphasize how bad my decision had been. Bad choice, very bad choice, an unending refrain. However, I have been doing some thinking about the morality of making a bad decision, and I think my infallible older brother is wrong, completely and wholly, and totally wrong. The phrase bad choice has two parts. One part is about the consequences of the choice, the bad effects, or dire results. He is correct. In many ways, my life has been putrid since I followed the trail of the bicycle guy to that convalescent hospital in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. But those same rotten consequences could have happened even if I had not made the choice to go. Consider this. I was one of 17 lawyers working for the state of California, serving the legal needs of our agency. Suppose one afternoon, all 17 of us are called into a meeting and handed our pink slip, fired on the spot, told that we must leave the building immediately under the supervision of state officers. That scenario is not really so far-fetched. Other states have done just that, fired their state employees and replaced them with lawyers from a private company. Why would the state do that? Well, remember the fixed income retirement and incredible benefits that my brother raved about. It will save the state money. They won't have to pay for them. Same level of service, but much cheaper. Okay, follow my thinking. So, I get fired, then lose my house, my Mercedes, my dog, and probably my girlfriend. The consequences are still rotten, but they were not a result of my choice. They just happened. My own thinking returns to that motel room in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, just after that phone call from the nurse, when Crooked Leg Bob explained the whole story to me. Davy and Lorraine made what turned out to be a very bad choice. A better choice, on that snowy night in Colorado, would have been to go up to their hotel room and spend the night in passionate lovemaking. Instead, they chose to go out in a snowstorm in search of a party. Their bad choice resulted in some severe, dire consequences. Lorraine suffered traumatic brain injury and spent the remainder of her life hospitalized in a coma. Davy was arrested and then spent years in prison. Their band, Winds of the Roaring Plains, was dissolved just as it was building its audience. And Crooked Leg Anderson, one of our era's truly great musicians, stopped doing music. Still, contrary to my brother, I do not believe that their choice caused, or created, these dire consequences. The truck which broadsided them caused these consequences. But its actions had nothing whatsoever to do with their choice. To use language borrowed from mathematics, the truck was one independent vector, and Davy and Lorraine's choice was another independent vector. Neither causes the other. These independent vectors happen to meet. Davy's decision did not cause the collision. It was happenstance, not causality. From my very first encounter with the bicycle guy, one thing was clearly apparent. He was one independent vector. He did only what he wanted. When I first met him, it bothered me that he only did what he wanted. I now realize that he understood what I didn't. Making a bad choice is better than choosing to not make a decision. Morally, making a bad choice is justifiable. Not making a choice is not. Choosing to not make a decision is clearly morally worse than making a bad choice, not just a little worse. No. Much, much worse. I'm remembering a minor character from the start of this little drama. I called him Mr. Hawaiian Shirt. He reminds me of a lawyer that I worked with at the state agency. On my second day on the job, he called me into his office to show me something. It was a printed table with ages on the x-axis and rates on the y-axis. See, you can use this chart to calculate your maximum retirement benefit. I'm on the job 2 days, and this guy is talking about retirement. But it gets worse. He tells me that in 22 years, 7 months, and 3 days, he will be at the maximum allowable benefit. I now think Mr. Hawaiian Shirt is that kind of guy. He knows that exact date that his retirement benefit will reach its maximum value, some 22 years from now. David Wayne Kirkby knew instantly who the Hawaiian Shirt guy was, and he immediately reacted against it. He asserted his fundamental right to make his own choices. He chose to step forward and make a choice. He was the active agent, not passive, not muddled. His decisions were clear. He knew where he was going. He had no regrets. He rode up that mountain, certain in one thing. The choice was his. He always did only what he wanted. One afternoon, a FedEx package arrived for me just when I came home from work. It included a glossy color flyer about a concert at the Lake Tahoe Amphitheater featuring Crooked Leg Anderson and his Mescalero Apache band. It also included 2 VIP tickets, embossed in gold foil. Very nice, I thought. There was also a handwritten note. Come and see us on the 24th, appreciatively, Bob. The package also included a prepaid hotel reservation for South Lake Tahoe's finest resort. To my final surprise, I also found a prepaid slip for a limousine service. Needless to say, I went. The band's concert at the beautiful Lakeside Arena was extraordinary. They played a huge range of contemporary-sounding music, and just a few of Bob's older, twangy stuff. The audience could not get enough. The older rocker had captured this new idiom with power and authority. The new Crooked Leg, Bob Anderson, was a truly great musical performer. I was wowed by almost every number. However, it was the very last song that Crooked Leg performed that evening, almost by himself without the band's accompaniment, that brought me to tears. It was Davy's song, the one we had found in Lorraine's nightstand.
Listen up, this is my decree. I call the shots. I'm in control, it's just me. I won't be owned, manipulated, or contained. I pave my own way, my destiny unchained. I do what I want, no one's gonna hold me down. Except for you, boy, you turn my world around. You break me free from my self-imposed walls. With you I surrender, my heart enthralls. I'm unbreakable, fierce and invincible. A force that can't be tamed.
Watch me shine, I'm taking fire.
Hey man, watch.
Hey man, listen up, this is my decree. I call the shots, I'm in control, it's just me.
Ooh, yeah.
I won't be home, manipulated or contained. I pave my own way, my destiny unchained. I do what I want, no one's gonna hold me down. Except for you, boy, you turn my world around.
Ooh, yeah.
You break me free from my self-imposed. With you I surrender my heart and thralls. I'm unbreakable.
Free from my self-imposed.